Welcome back to Insights for Health. Our guest today is Dr. Kate Riom, and we've been talking about hormones and some of the havoc that they can perform in the body as we age and depending on our diet and our lifestyle. And before the break, we talked about estrogen. Doctor, menopause seems to be a very major time frame in a woman's life.
It very much is. 100% of women will go through menopause at a certain point in life, and that journey and that transition can really vary. And some people really struggle with it. It's nice that there's more discussion and awareness now around that process. The transition through menopause can vary. There's a huge range of when menopause occurs. Now, to back up a little bit, technically, women are in menopause once they have had 12 months without a cycle. So that's menopause. But it's the perimenopause phase that leads up to that that can start as early as the mid-30s for some women. Definitely by 45, women are in some phase of perimenopause. So this transition state to menopause can take 10 or even 15 years for some people, and that's cycles are getting shorter, they're getting longer, maybe there's occasional missed ones, symptoms are starting to crop up, maybe, you know, sleep is deteriorating, mood swings are changing. So almost anything can happen. We now know there's a big change that happens in the brain at this time that can affect cognitive function and mood, and so there is a huge variation from woman to woman as to what's happening, and the process can take years.
Hot flashes seem to be an issue with a lot of women.
Yes. Once women hit menopause, late perimenopause or menopause, that is one of the classic symptoms. Hot flashes and night sweats. Basically, once estrogen levels decline to a certain level, then the brain's thermal regulation or temperature regulation system can go offline, and then people can start to feel extremely hot for anywhere from seconds to an hour. It can take a long time to cool down, you know, turning beet red. And if it happens in the night, then those are referred to as night sweats.
And again, when we talked about the estrogen in the first half of the show, we talked about diet and lifestyle. Are there proactive things that a woman can do during this time with the hot flashes and the night sweats in regards to diet and lifestyle?
There are. We do know that certain foods can trigger hot flashes, spicy foods, coffee, alcohol, for example. So recognizing which those are and at least being aware of them so you can have the choice to avoid them if you would like to. All of the dietary approaches and recommendations, you know, avoiding processed foods, eating more high fiber foods, healthy fats, protein, et cetera, and even cruciferous vegetables can be helpful at this time. Those approaches on their own, while really helpful, are not likely to resolve. They may minimize the symptoms, but on their own are not likely to, you know, be the complete solution to these symptoms.
But they can be triggers that can be avoided.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
So there's some very helpful nutrients that can help. Dawn Quay?
Is a botanical medicine, herbal medicine, that has been used and studied in a long history of use in traditional Chinese medicine, but also with a lot of modern research behind it, that can be helpful to balance progesterone levels, and that is also a factor in the perimenopause and menopause transition. So that's one thing to consider in terms of botanical support for menopause symptoms.
Yeah. Chaste berry is another one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's another one as well that works on the level of progesterone in terms of balancing that. Often early in the perimenopause state, it's the progesterone levels that can be more problematic and cause more symptoms. And later on, it's the estrogen that's the problem. But chaste berry is another one that's helpful there.
Black cohosh, what does it do?
Cohosh is probably, arguably, the single most studied herb when it comes to menopausal symptoms and specifically the hot flashes and night sweats. So for some women, this does make a difference in terms of frequency and severity of hot flashes and night sweats. And so it's something to consider. You know, a meta-analysis of clinical trials has shown that women who were taking black cohosh can have up to about a 25-26% reduction in a variety of menopausal symptoms.
What would be another element that would be helpful?
Hesperidin is a bioflavonoid. You can find this in fruits and vegetables, say in like the white, you know, if you're peeling an orange, the white pithy portion of the orange will have bioflavonoids like this. This can have benefits for the small blood vessels, the capillaries. Those tend to dilate during hot flashes, so helping and strengthening those can be helpful. And as well, another one that people likely haven't heard of is something called gamma-arisinol. This is derived from rice bran oil. It has antioxidant activity, some cholesterol-lowering effects, and has been shown to be helpful with menopausal symptoms.
Taking these supplements, would they work individually? Would they work comprehensively as a group? How would you, as a naturopathic doctor, how would you approach prescribing something like this?
Generally, when it comes to herbs or botanical medicines, I take a synergistic approach. They will often, you know, these individual components will complement one another. And so having them together in a formula helps to deal with symptoms, say menopausal symptoms, from different angles. So I really like combination formulas when it comes to these herbs.
So it's like shooting at one target from multiple different directions as opposed
exactly.
to just one shot sort of thing.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. The adrenals play a pretty major role as well, don't they?
Huge role. I wish more people really understood and appreciated their adrenal glands, the hard work that they're doing day in, day out, and the underlying effect that they can have on hormone health as well as overall well-being. And they really are, you know, they're sitting, these little glands sitting on top of our kidneys producing our stress hormones day in, day out. That can affect all of our other hormones and our general well-being.
So cortisol is the major hormone, is
Cortisol is a big one. Adrenaline and cortisol, you know,
yeah.
Adrenaline is the fight or flight hormone when we're under acute stress and the body is preparing us to fight our perceived attack, you know, the lion or the tiger, or to flee and run away from it. And then later on, the body will produce some cortisol. It's another stress hormone that is designed to be an anti-inflammatory. So just in case you were injured in that fight-or-flight interaction, the body very kindly gives you a bit of anti-inflammatory to deal with your injuries. In small amounts, it's a good thing. But when you're under high stress on an ongoing basis, it can be, you know, causing more problems or more, doing more harm than good over long term to have elevated stress levels. Everyone knows that. Part of that comes from too much cortisol, especially at the wrong times of the day.
What are some of the symptoms of cortisol being too high?
Well, high blood sugar is a big one. Difficulty losing weight is another one. Now, there are extreme forms of cortisol dysregulation that need to be treated by, you know, your medical doctor, for example, but we're talking about on a daily basis. You know, there's some misconceptions around cortisol. It does need to be elevated in the morning and then decrease as the day goes on. There's a natural daily rhythm. You know, people talk about cortisol detoxes. There's really no such thing. It's not a toxin. But we want that bump in the morning to get us up and going, and then it to decrease as the day goes on. So if you're having difficulty unwinding at night, tired and wired, poor sleep, for example, all of these can be related to cortisol that's too elevated too late in the day.
Are there steps that people can take to maintain their adrenal health?
Yes, very much so. So we know that stress is a major factor here. Trying to establish a work-life balance as much as possible, getting adequate amounts of sleep. Sleep is hugely important for your adrenal health. That means going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time every day, even on the weekends. Sounds boring, but your adrenal glands love boring. These are some of the things. Taking time for relaxation. That does not mean scrolling on your phone. That doesn't count as relaxation. So getting out into nature, exposure to natural surroundings, you know, natural sunlight. And then there are also, you know, everything we've talked about nutritionally in terms of diet is helpful for your adrenal glands. Avoid the white sugar that sends your blood sugar on a roller coaster. Instead, focus on protein, fat, and fiber. And there are also herbs that help your adrenal glands do their job better.
Those are what they call adaptogenic herbs.
Yes, they help us adapt to or cope with stress. And what that means is they help your adrenal glands produce the right amounts of hormones at the right times of the day.
Would rhodiola be a good adaptogenic herb?
Rhodiola may be my favorite herb, certainly my favorite adaptogen. It's a herb that's near and dear to my heart. It helps your adrenal glands, as I mentioned, you know, produce the right amount of hormone at the right times of the day. But rhodiola also helps with the gentle lift in the mood. Something that can happen when people feel stressed out, burnt out, is they feel a flat kind of mood. And rhodiola will just, it's like having your rhodiola rose-colored glasses on. So it's a better day.
Okay, that works, yeah. You often hear about ashwagandha and the adrenals.
Trending, it's all over social media. There are also many, many studies to back it up. A well-known adaptogen that helps you feel energized but calm. Many people now are taking this for sleep. If you're taking it for sleep, you can take it on its own at the end of the day. But in lower amounts and in combination with other adaptogenic herbs, I do love ashwagandha for its ability to lend resilience. So you have, you know, steady energy throughout the day and you're less likely to be frazzled by things.
There's Siberian ginseng as well. Now, I always thought of ginseng as something that would be energizing.
The term ginseng does connote that. It's also used to describe a variety of herbs with adaptogenic properties. So Siberian ginseng is not a true ginseng. Its Latin name is actually Eleutherococcus. It's one that will affect blood pressure, for example. That's an excellent question because there are a lot of things labeled ginseng. But Siberian ginseng doesn't affect blood pressure. It doesn't over-energize, for example. Tons of research around this herb for athletes and endurance events, students studying for exams, a lot of research about Eleutherococcus or Siberian ginseng. It's an adaptogen I do love.
Schisandra would be another one?
Yes, Schisandra. This is one that is used a bit more so in traditional Chinese medicine, but as well an adaptogen, so helps with consistent energy throughout the day, as well as emotional resilience that can come in the face of stress. Schisandra is a nice balancing herb and a great contributor to adaptogen combos.
Yeah. So, Doctor, we're coming to the end of our time. It's been great having you here today. What would you offer to the audience by way of a summarizing statement or some encouragement in regards to their hormone health?
Well, I think if anyone is struggling with their hormone health, and especially for women that have been told a certain amount of suffering is normal, or if your mom suffered, then you're going to as well, and that's not necessarily the case. And it is worth taking steps, you know, diet and lifestyle, exercise changes, and see where that gets you. And if not, consider individual nutrients or other types of supports, because you can get relief from hormone symptoms and possibly quicker than you might expect.
Doctor, thank you for joining us on Insights for Health. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you're welcome. It's been great to be here.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Health. Our guest today is the naturopathic doctor and author, Kate Riome. Supplements that support hormone health are on sale now at The Healthy Habit. Save 25% on select products while quantities last. Visit us at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself with your health.